We're here very interested in the linkages between urban and rural, but very much also focusing on what can be done in urban settings. Our framework has focused very much on what we'd call social protection or social safety nets in urban centres, but we want those to be very much nationally owned and preferably locally owned. So there's a huge discussions going on about what local authorities and local administrations, their role within urbanisation, which is key. So our focus has been on the marginalized in society. So one of the mantra here is about no city left behind. Clearly it's no one left behind. So we're really looking at no one left behind in any city that's left behind.
I mean, how active is the World Food Programme already in cities, and how might that change as a result of this new urban agenda that's being adopted here?
First of all, we know that a lot of conflict at the moment is actually in city settings. Also, a lot of the recent migration and refugee, particularly refugee areas, has been into city settings. If you look at Lebanon, for instance, you know, people often think, when they think the term refugee, they think refugee camps. In Lebanon, these are people who are living in urban areas, have moved into the cities, they've integrated with the population, so we're reaching them there. And a lot of the improvement in technology and way in which we're reaching people now has meant that we're reaching people not with, you know, we often think of WFP and food assistance, convoys of trucks and planes that bring airlifting food in. In Lebanon and many other countries, we're actually doing this, what we refer to now as digital food. We're giving people credit cards or loading up credit on their own mobile phones that they then use in many, many different settings, shops, supermarkets, to actually buy what they need. So with that new tool of being able to do it that way, working with local governments, we envisage urban settings in the future. First of all, having social safety nets, using similar mechanisms for the poorest segment of society. And then if there is a shock, a hurricane, as such as happened in Haiti recently, rather than try and establish a whole new infrastructure, you build on top of existing locally owned social safety protection systems.
So does this new urban agenda adequately cover the kind of need, the growing need that you're seeing in cities for food and to deal with food scarcity, food insecurity?
Yeah, we're very encouraged. The new urban agenda has recognized the issues of food security and nutrition in urban settings. It's recognized social safety and social protection as a part of, you know, really important part. It's recognizing the linkages between urban and rural areas. And, you know, in fact, you know, the urban growth, if used properly, can, you know, and if we plan for rural supplies to reach those urban areas, can actually help with jobs and increased production in the rural setting. So I think the framework sets it all out. So we're very, very excited about the new urban agenda. But as they say, you know, since we're talking food, the proof is going to be in the pudding. And actually what happens now after it is the implementation.
Exactly. So what's the most important way in which cities need to change to deal with the kind of growing need that you're seeing?
One of the things, it's cities and national governments. I mean, this is going to be a combined effort. So the change, I think, is going to have to be for local authorities and cities to live up to the agenda and actually recognize it. You know, in very much, if we look back to the SDGs and No One Left Behind, just signed just over a year ago, that was clearly national governments. I think what we're seeing here in Habitat 3 and taking it to the urban centers where cities, mayors, local authorities are actually signing up also, that, you know, that this framework will be for them to implement.
Is this new urban agenda in a way going to be somewhat pointless for those cities that are mired in crisis? You think particularly of cities in the Middle East, in Africa?
You could look at it and sort of say, right now it probably doesn't, you know, when we talk about urban planning and the space and where they go, and if you're actually having barrel bombs rain down on your head, or you're not able to get your children to a school, never mind, you know, where it's located, you know, we're talking here about urban planning and better placement of schools. You know, there are cities today where people can't, you know, you can't send your child to school for fear of them being killed while they're there. It reminds us all that these cities have to be built with the people in mind. And we're actually looking, I mean, this, it's a sad thought that, you know, some of the cities where the tragedies are happening today, had planning been better, had people been in a better condition, we might be not seeing some of the stuff we're seeing today. So I think what the new urban agenda gives us, the step for the future, but peace and security for people will come first.